But I have these symptoms, screams the cubicle heart mind. I'm sick, I tell you, I'm sick. What inspiring self-heart mind. Oh, I see the cubicle self now with its hands over its ears yelling, I can't hear you. I hear you. Yes, we do get symptoms. Let's face it, this body, we can't take it with us. Someday when our work is done, we will lay it down. We are not to deny that sickness and death of the body happen. The question to ask about sickness is, what is this for? What is the purpose? Sickness is an opportunity to pause. Sickness is an opportunity to shift. Shift what? Perceiving, thinking, feeling, responding. Change our ways from not helpful to being truly helpful. Sickness is an opportunity to connect to ourself, others, and inspiration. My 92-year-old father, though he is in a wheelchair, takes every opportunity to connect with passers-by, saying, he's my friend. Hello, friend. Every time he is asked, how do you feel? He responds, oh, I feel great. Or, all things considered, I think I'm doing pretty good. He is the happiest person I have ever met. The hospice people and all of the personnel at the Missouri Veterans Home call me and go on and on, all with the same story. We love your father. He is such a blessing to be around. He is full of joy and makes us laugh, laugh, laugh. He was singing yesterday. He is such a peaceful man. He loves everyone, and everyone loves him. Why do I tell this story? My father grew up during the Depression, worked very hard his whole life, fought in the infantry in World War II, was in the Battle of the Bulge, and was a forward scout with the Timberwolves. Their slogan was, "Nothing in hell will stop the Timberwolves." He always said he lived on caffeine, nicotine, and prayer. Many times he told us the story of how he prayed in the foxholes. If he were to get out of the war alive, he would never complain again. He walked for 33 years as a mailman, then 7 years more as a security guard after retirement. He never complained a day that I have known him about his health. I don't recall him ever being homesick. He always went to work. So here is a person that his doctor had almost dead 7 years ago, but his heart is still ticking. Here is a person that has had a few incidents that we thought for sure were it, but he keeps coming back to life. And here is a person that may not be able to have ongoing normal conversation as we think of it, but he knows what it means to perceive, think, feel, and respond with his inspired self. He said the other day, I like that guy. His mind isn't dull. Long pause. And it isn't clever either. He sees the two opposing spectrums and the limited range of the cubicle self mind, dull to clever. The nursing home that he lived in prior to the veterans home was like a body gripped with fear. Awareness of inspiration was null and void. It was a place where bodies went to die. The veterans home is a home for living spirits extending love. At the death's waiting room nursing home, my father said he wanted to die. He said to me, I would talk to the people here about God if they would hear. I asked my father how he likes the Missouri Veterans Home, and he responded, oh, I love it. There is a prayer for everyone, and that is all that matters. We are here together, and our one-to-one perceptions and interactions cause either love or fear. So my father is far from the picture of what we call health, Yet he is living a quality life. A quality of life questionnaire might not show him well because of his low level of functional status and independence on self-care. But I know plenty of people, sometimes myself included, who are fully independent and involved in activities, yet are not experiencing the joy and peace my father is experiencing. I am not suggesting we do not strive for functional independence in our daily activities, or stop participating in the things we enjoy, or not do things that will support our physical health. Not at all. The question is, who is it that is participating in my daily activities? Who is living my life? I often observed my father appearing to be living on a different plane. Sure, he had his moments of losing it and getting frustrated. More so, though, he saw the ridiculousness of the cubicle self and let it roll right off his mind. How was he able to do this? I think it was because he more often than not was connected to his higher mind. He connected through prayer, which is willingness to step back, step aside, and let inspiration guide in our silence. In silence, he found his peace. What stands out for me about my father is though he would have symptoms, he didn't focus on them. His inspiring self-heart-mind reinterprets his symptoms. Many, many times I heard my father share his wisdom as he said two things a lot. Here are those two things. Slow down and let it go. How does the inspiring self-heart-mind reinterpret symptoms? It perceives symptoms through a different lens, the lens of peace instead of the lens of fear, with a knowing that peace is bigger than this symptom, with a knowing that all is well in the heart, mind, of spirit, no matter what appears to be going on in the body world. The cubicle self heart mind is afraid of symptoms and worries about them getting worse. The cubicle self heart mind tries to push away or get rid of the symptoms as soon as possible, or indulge in the symptoms. The cubicle self heart mind is not willing to learn from the symptoms. The cubicle self heart mind wants to blame itself or someone else for the symptoms. The cubicle self heart mind is ashamed of the symptoms. The cubicle self heart mind feels guilty about the symptoms. The cubicle self grieves the symptoms. The cubicle self denies the symptoms. The cubicle self feels angry about the symptoms. The cubicle self bargains with God about the symptoms. The cubicle self feels depressed about the symptoms. The cubicle self will not accept, but will give in to the symptoms, which equals a sentence to death for the rest of its life. Who can be truly helpful to the cubicle self going through this grief, which may feel like death? Your inspiring self, heart, mind, that's who. I noticed that this grief process of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance is very much a part of illness, disease, and/or injury. Really, it describes the life of the cubicle self quite well. The cubicle self heart mind is in a constant state of grief, grieving its decision and resulting choices to be separate from inspiration, to be all alone. The cubicle self can come to a place of accepting guilt, but it is incapable of real acceptance. Why? Because real acceptance is accepting inspiration. This is the only acceptance that brings real peace. The mentor within. you will have all the health you need to do that which you are to do.